We'll bless him. Just kidding. One's higher than the other. But man, I'm just excited to be here. And, you know, we're talking about stronger families. My family's just getting started. You know, we've got 3 weeks until our baby girl is due. And, you know, so I didn't want to, like, let that be, like, a holdup. Like, wait, like, Frankie's going to talk about family, but he don't even have kids yet. But my hope is that I speak from a perspective of one of the kids who was raised, through and after the, what's the scripture say, admonition? There we go, there it is, of the Lord. Because, you know, growing up, it wasn't always like a Christian household. And, you know, I don't think that I actually like accepted Jesus as my Savior when I was 11. But I really didn't do anything with that until I was about 16, 17 years old. So you can kind of imagine as you're raising kids, I can almost picture it in my head with my baby girl one day. But sometimes they're just not always going to get it as soon as you want them to get it. And from what I've seen from some of our best friends raising their family, and from the advice and the stuff that they impart to us about raising our family, is just about being consistent and doing certain things in a certain way. Man, that I've seen how even their children have turned out to be awesome children who know the word and who stand up for what's right. And that definitely will be our family one day. So we're excited to have little Lucy come along into this world. I'm not nervous about it at all. I still think about the moment where we actually take her home from the hospital and I think, there's no one here to help me now. You know? So... like my mom always said, what are you going to do when you get married? Well, I'm just going to have to do it, I guess. And that's usually what I heard when I didn't clean my room or put my dishes in the dishwasher. So, but we're going to talk about a little bit of that, you know, because, man, I come from, I wouldn't call it a blended family because, well, you know, I don't know what to call it. But I've got a stepmom and a stepdad. You know, my parents have been divorced and then they've remarried. So really, when you kind of look at my family, I like to think about it as we kind of have just about any reason or every reason to be a dysfunctional family. You know, I know of plenty of families who have step-parents or step-children or anything like that, and they don't get along that well. But something supernaturally has happened inside of our family where we can have step-parents together with our parents in one room, and there's no animosity, everything's peaceful, we can laugh, and we're just one big family. And for me, that's supernatural. For me, that's something that only God can do. But it's not something that happened overnight. It's a process that has happened throughout our lives where my dad was like, you're going to respect your stepfather. You're going to listen to what he says, and you're going to do what he asks you. And to where even my step-parent, my stepdad, and my mom were like, you're going to respect your stepmother. And really, and if we didn't do these things, we got it from both ends. So there was no like good cop, bad cop. You know, when we were grounded, we were grounded. When we went to stay with dad, we were still grounded. You know what I mean? There was just things that our family did that I look back on and I'm like, that is crazy. But then now I think about it and I'm like, oh, okay. You know, you get it. And it's when you're, this age, when you kind of grow up and you're like, I realize now that I'm not the smartest person in the universe. Because you get to that point in life when you realize, like, your parents, like, I'm looking at you guys because this is where you're at right now, but you think you're geniuses, and it's not true, right? Your parents are geniuses. They're the ones that truly know. And that's the perspective that I'm coming from. Is a perspective of being a young man and growing up to now to where I'm at today. Because granted, the choices that I made weren't always the best choices, but throughout the road that I've taken, I've learned that even those choices have got me to where I am. And if I would have known then what I know now, then I probably wouldn't be here right now, if that makes any sense. So I'm going to be talking about being generationally minded when it comes to a family. So let's just dive in real quick to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. And here's what it says. It says, children, that's you guys, by the way, that's any children that are in here. If you want to be wise, listen to your parents and do what they tell you, and the Lord will help you. You see, for young people, this is what it seems like sometimes, that just because you are of age does not mean that you are wise or mature. I'm looking at you guys, right? I'm 18. I can do what I want, right? Because that's a lot of the attitude sometimes that young people have. But what they don't realize is that they don't make wise choices still, and they're still not mature. You see, but Scripture says that if you just listen to your parents, if you obey your parents, then what? Then the Lord will help you. What does that mean? It simply means that He will help you. See, because, like, seriously, you take that Scripture for the entirety that it is, the Lord will help you. Obey your parents. But I don't know what I'm going to be doing in life. Obey your parents. But what is my purpose? Obey your parents. Honor your mom and dad. Why? Because then the Lord will help you. Because then you'll know the right decisions to make, the right choices to make. You know what I mean? They will be able to help guide you along your walk in life. Some of us are very fortunate to have that, and some of us, unfortunately, have not had the parents that have helped us in that way. But let's continue. Verse 2, for the commandment, honor your father and your mother, was the first of the Ten Commandments, check that out, with a promise attached. For you will prosper and live a long, full life if you honor your parents. See, so that's only if. Only if you honor your parents, then you will prosper, you will live a long, full life. God will help guide you along your way. So that's the catch. You can't just think that because you know it all, that you really know it all. You have to talk to your parents. You have to listen to your parents. And all the parents says, amen. Amen. Okay, there we go. Right here, Ephesians 6, verse 4. Fathers, don't exasperate your children. Other translations say, do not provoke your children to anger. Okay? Says, but raise them up with loving discipline and counsel that brings the revelation of our God. I want to just real quick share a quick story about a moment that I had just like this with my dad. Okay? I was 15 years old. I was caught in a place that I shouldn't have been, doing things I shouldn't have been doing. You can just create your own imagination here. Okay? Long story short, the cops called my parents, well, my mom actually. I was grounded for about the rest of my life. I think I still have a few more days left and then I'm free. I was in trouble, okay? And my mom, she let me have it, which that's what parents do sometimes. And then she was like, you're going to tell your dad. It's like, so you mean like, my whole life, this is the moment I got to tell my dad when I did the biggest piece of stupid I've ever done, right? See, but so here's a little too, like, this was on Father's Day. So, like, it couldn't have lined up more perfectly that I made the biggest mistake of my life, and I've got to go tell my father about it on his day. But check this out. Listen to this. Do not provoke your children to anger, but with loving discipline and counsel that brings the revelation of Jesus. You see, in that moment, I went to my dad and I remember he was in the backyard and he was doing yard work and he was covered in sweat and he was tired. And I went to him and I was like, yo, dad. He said, yep. I spilled the beans. This is what I did. This. Got caught. And I was just kind of waiting for it, right? But here's what happened. He said, son, when I was your age, he said, I can't say that I wouldn't have done anything like that. He says, what good is it going to do me to yell at you in this moment? What good is it going to do me to be that dad right now? You see, in that moment, my father did not provoke me into anger, but instead, He lovingly, yes, was disappointed in my actions, but lovingly, he gave me counsel that in that moment, I saw the grace of the Father. And I'll never forget that day, because it's that day that I truly understood how God views who I am. I'll never forget it. It's in that moment that I connected not just with my dad, but my Father. Right? I'll never forget that day. I don't know what's next. But here's what happened. This is what my Father has done his whole life. He has modeled the life of Jesus. And this is something that we should do in general. This is how our lives should be, regardless of whether we're parents or we have kids or whatever. If you say that you're a Christian and that you're a believer in Jesus, you should model his life. That's what it's about, modeling the life of Jesus, because that's what my Father and my family has done for us. Second Timothy, verse 1 through 5, chapter 1, verse 5, it says this: "As I think of your strong faith that was passed down," you see, that's important, "through your family line, it began with your grandmother," I'm going to call her Louise, because that's what it looks like, "who passed it on to your dear mother, Eunice," God bless her, "and it's clear that you too are following in the footsteps of their godly example." So, here's the idea behind that, is that you have no idea who you're raising. Do you think that my Father, that my family knew that I would be here this day at this moment? No idea. You can ask any of them. You can ask any of my best friends right now. Even when I was 17 years old, they never would have guessed that at 17 I would be here right now. That 10 years later, I would be Pastor Frankie. You see, but the thing about Timothy is that the Apostle Paul was like his man. The Apostle Paul was Timothy's spiritual father. And so the Apostle Paul noticed the importance of teaching downward the ways of Jesus, of modeling Jesus to the younger generation. You see, because even Timothy's parents had no idea who they were raising. And then he turned out to be a guy that goes all over and builds churches, and he's working with one of the most famous, well-known person in the Bible. Right? So here's another story about modeling and about showing me things and raising me up. I remember I was probably 11 or 12 years old. I don't remember how old I was. But you see, the thing that my dad always does is, I remember growing up whenever my dad found Jesus, Jesus wasn't hiding. When Jesus found my father, okay, you see, my dad has always been the guy, like, he, as soon as that moment happened, he put both feet in and he never looked back. And as I've stated before, the moment that my dad knew who God was, that was the moment our backside knew who the belt was. So it was a rough transition, but we made it. We're here, we're alive, right? And so I just remember this clear as day. You know, my dad, he would have his concordance. He would have like two or three different Bibles, and his really special Bible that had all the highlighted notes in it. He would have a notepad that he would just write down notes as he studied. And I remember one day I grabbed my Bible and I walked up to Dad and I sat down on that dinner table, and he looked at me. He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Dad, I want to study with you." I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't even read the Bible before that, but I just knew that my dad's doing it, so I want to do it. Now, that was probably the only time that I actually did it. But you see, it just left this moment in me. It just made this connection with me spiritually that my father does it, so I will do it. Because my dad modeled Jesus. He modeled the life of Jesus. He tells me all the time, he's like, "Son, I wish I had as much self-control as you." But what he doesn't realize is that I saw him have self-control. And so now I have self-control. Not because he modeled it, but now because I understand who God is on the inside of me. And if I want to model his life, then as a Christian, I have to have self-control. And only not just because it's just a fruit of the Spirit, but that's just because that's who we are. So again, remember, you have no idea who you're raising. You have no clue. Some of you might know. Some of you, God may have said, this is who it is. But still, we don't really know who they're going to turn out to be. Right? Because there comes a time in their life. There came a time in my life where I had to make God my God. Right? My dad's faith could no longer be mine. He modeled it for me. And I took that faith and I now made it my own. Right? And so that's what we have to do with our children. That's what I'm going to do with my children. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. But you, Timothy, have closely followed my example and the truth that I have imparted to you. You have modeled your life after the love and endurance I've demonstrated in my ministry by not giving up. So you see, Timothy here, he's modeling the life of Paul. You know, there's a time in Scripture where Paul says, do as I do. As I imitate Christ, you imitate me. That's what the Apostle Paul said. As I imitate Christ, you imitate me. And then he says, the faith that I have, you now have. What I have hungered for in life has now become your longing as well. And the patience I have with others, you now demonstrate. So you can see here that Timothy has, yeah, that's a good point. But Timothy has modeled Paul's life. He has learned from Paul, who in his life at the time was a spiritual father, which, yes, leads me to this point, that our spiritual fathers in here right now, they have so much importance. They have as much importance as even their natural fathers. Seriously, think about it. Sometimes your children may not feel comfortable talking to you about things that they feel comfortable talking to other men or women about things. And really, sometimes you have to be okay with that. You see, there are things that I told some of my mentors in life that I didn't talk to my parents about. Now, they would encourage me, you got to talk to your, especially if it was a big deal. You know, but there's a lot of times where our children, your children, they will want to go and speak to someone else, and that's okay. See, but what we have to realize that, what you have to realize as a spiritual father in here, because there are many spiritual fathers in here, is that your job is just as important to model Jesus as it is that the fathers do as well. You see, check this out. There are young people that come to our church. There are people that aren't so young anymore, but yet they grew up without dads. But here's the thing, that if you've been fathered by the Father, then I want to encourage you to become a spiritual father to someone who doesn't have an earthly father. Because that is important. Because they still need that connection with a dad to have love and discipline, even though it's not always easy and it's not always fun. For spiritual mothers and spiritual fathers, you know, you can still teach young people, you can still teach people how to love and how to live their life that Jesus lived. That's still an important job. That's still being a generational church. That we see a need and we fulfill that need. Verse 15. Remember. So he's talking to Timothy now. Again, in this whole letter. But he's talking to him specifically about the things that were passed down to him from his grandmother and his mother. The things that he was taught, right? He says, remember what you were taught from your childhood, from the Holy Scrolls, which can impart to you wisdom. Young people, that's the Bible. Okay. I think that was wrong, but. So, from the Holy Scrolls, which impart to you wisdom to experience everlasting life through the faith of Jesus, the Anointed One. Every scripture. Everything, ever from Genesis to Revelation, every scripture has been inspired by the Holy Spirit, the breath of God. It will empower you by its instruction and correction, because it will do that, giving you the strength to take the right direction and lead you deeper into the path of godliness. What does that mean? That means read the scriptures for everyone, really, because you can teach your young people these scriptures, but read the scriptures, learn from them, and yes, at time they will instruct you and it will correct you. If you think that you're truly living right, then read the scriptures, because I guarantee you that you're doing something wrong. And if you really want to see if you're living right, then read the book of Romans, because it will make you just like one of those right there. Here we go. Verse 17. Then you will be God's servant. Here it is right here. Fully mature. Who wants to be mature? I know I do. And again, just because you're of older age does not mean that you're fully wise and fully mature either. Right? Because scripture, God, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. So how do we even know anything before we do that part? Right? Because then it's only what? Earthly, man's wisdom, man's thinking. Right? But when you fear the Lord, then that's the beginning of true wisdom and true knowledge. And that comes from the book of wisdom. So that's how I'm going to live my life. So then you will be God's servant, fully mature and perfectly prepared, listen, to fulfill any assignment that God gives you. So what is your purpose in life, young people? And you don't have to answer that question. I'll give you the answer. It is this. It's to know him. How do you know him? Right here, through the scriptures. Right? So we should get to this point in our lives where we point the young people to the scriptures. That's how it should be. You know, if I get to a point where I have to train my daughter, I'm going to see what the scripture has to say about that moment. You know, because people ask me, well, are you nervous? Well, are you scared? Well, are you excited? I may be a little bit of everything. But here's what I do know, is that I have everything that I need on the inside of me and in front of me to teach and to train my daughter in the way that she needs to go. Right? Here we go, right here. So you cannot train on your own merit alone. You've got to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and God's word. And that's something that the Lord has revealed to me over these past few months, is that this I cannot do in my own wisdom. I need the Father's help here. So what does that mean? As I need to do everything that I can to completely be fathered by him so that I know how to father my earthly child. Because as God's child, I need to understand what it's like to be fathered by him. I need to understand what it's like to be corrected by him or directed by him or instructed by him. Because if I can't receive that, then how can my child receive what it is that I'm trying to get across to them? Because in turn, I won't do it the right way. Then I'll do stuff out of frustration, maybe sometimes even hate. See, but I want to do everything out of love and from a heart that is completely for my child. And since you're all listening to this, then you all can hold me accountable to that. Because I guarantee you that my kid one day will be running around this place stirring a muck up. And if that happens, you just let me know. I am determined to take care of it. All right? Now, yes, everybody says, well, it's not always that easy. And I've heard it a million times. My dad used to say it hurts me more than it hurts you. But in return, think about it, and we're going to get there, but truly, yes, it does hurt in that moment, but it's only a short moment in time. We're only this big for this long. And when you get this big and you've had this much training, then bad things happen. And I'm not saying that because I know what it's like. I'm saying that because I've seen it happen in many people's lives. In many of my friends' lives, that you would think these guys are going to do big things, but some of them are sitting in jail right now. Right? Some of them maybe had children too early way earlier than they wanted to. See, but my family, even though they didn't know God at the time, I always remembered the morals that they taught us. My father always taught us to respect people. It don't matter who it is. It doesn't matter if they're nice to you. You respect them. You say yes, sir, and no, sir, and thank you, and no, thank you. That's just how we were raised. I remember there was two things my daddy said. He said, there's two calls in my life I never want to receive. He says, Dad, I'm in jail, or Dad, she's pregnant. Those two had never happened. Well, except for the married part because she's pregnant. But you know what I mean? Because here's what he said. He said, if I get those calls, here's what my answer will be. You're on your own, son. And I believed it. I never had a speeding ticket. I've only been pulled over like twice. Wasn't even my fault, you know? Like, I mean, seriously, like, it was like, son, the first ticket you get, your keys are mine. Yes, sir. You know, just things like that. Like, he was tough, man. You see, but my daddy, he didn't do it on his own merit. He didn't do it alone. It was those moments when he was studying scriptures and being fathered by God that he knew that he could only do this through the Spirit of God and through his word. And it was in that moment where he's holding your belt loop and he says, son, I'm doing it because I love you. But it don't feel like love, Dad. Bam! Yeah. I got a lot of loving. You can ask. I got a lot of it. My brother learned the first time I didn't learn. But here I am, so I must be doing okay. Here, well, I gotta go quick. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. We don't really know who wrote Hebrews. I like to think it's Paul, but okay. He says, and have you forgotten his encouraging words spoken to you as his children? We're talking about God and us being his children now, so we're transitioning this to us, right? He said, my child, don't underestimate the value of discipline and training of the Lord God, or get depressed when he has to correct you. So, there's a time in our lives where sometimes the Lord, he disciplines us, but but in that, you know, discipline, it always sounds like something bad, but there's many things in life that we're disciplined to do. Maybe it's a good eating habit. That takes discipline, right? Being in the gym, that takes discipline. Exercising, discipline, or whatever it is you do at work, something that you do that just takes discipline. But it's those things of being consistent that you're training yourself to do these things, right? So, and here's another part, but don't get depressed when God has to correct you. You know, when my dad used to spank us, me, which it was a lot, as soon as he got done, here's what he would say. He said, you good? Yes, sir. Good, now go sit on the couch and let's be a family. Yes, sir. So what was my father doing in that moment? He was teaching us to not give the enemy an opportunity to lie to us and speak evil things to make us think that they're against us. And it's the same way with God, because sometimes when you're corrected by the Father, it's not easy. When he feeds you a humble piece of pie, it's not easy. But we can't get down in the dumps, so poor pity me, because God is trying to teach and train us. You see, we can't allow our minds and our conscience to eat us alive and to start telling us things that aren't true about the Father. That, in that moment, that's what you have to take captive and submit that to Jesus and just keep moving. Verse 6, for the Lord's training of your life is the evidence of his love. And scripture says it all the time. If you don't discipline your kids, then you hate them. Discipline is consistency. It's doing things over and over again because they need it. Even though they don't see it then and they don't get it then, they will get it. Okay? So this is the evidence of his faithful love. And when he draws you to himself, it proves that you are his child. You know, there's plenty of times where we hang out with the bishops a lot. And so we know their kids. And sometimes their kids do things and I look at the kid and I look at them, I'm like, what? And then all of a sudden, like, you see this paddle fly up in the air and you're like, oh my gosh, they're about to get it. And you see, but the thing is here's what I've noticed. Here's what I've noticed is every time that they have to discipline their kid in that way, because it's always different, okay? But when they have to discipline their kid in that way, it's always a loving moment where, can you go back, Terry? Where their kid embraces them as a parent. And they just hug them, and they love on them, and then they love on them back. See, but it proves that they're loved by them, that that's their kid. And I love that, because that's something that I get to model, because I'm seeing it all the time, right? Not as much as you would think. Verse 7, fully embrace. See, this says fully embrace it. Don't just taste it or touch it. Fully embrace it. Fully embrace God's correction as part of your training. This is for us, church. This is for those who are mature and wise and have everything together as God's children. It says, embrace his correction as training, for he is doing what any loving father does for his children. For who has ever heard of a child who never had to be corrected? We should all welcome God's discipline as the validation of authentic sonship. How do I know that I'm God's child? Because he loves me in discipline and correction. That's how I know. For if we have never once endured his correction, this is amazing. It only proves that we are strangers and we're not sons. Wow. Wow. God disciplines those that he loves, as which we should as well. Because in church, we need a lot of discipline. We need a lot of correction. You see, and sometimes we position ourselves in a way to not receive it. So when correction does come, we're still mad and we're still hurt and we're still walking in bitterness and we're still walking in envy and we're still walking in anger and we're still walking in all these other things that destroy our lives, but we don't see it because we're not positioning ourselves as a son or as a daughter to receive the correction and love from the Father in order to see who he is so that we can reflect who he is, and then we know who we are. And then when we receive that, then we know, okay, they're for us, not against us. I feel loved. Man, even as God's children, we have to position ourselves even to be corrected and disciplined and instructed, because then only then will it strengthen us to complete the things that he has for us. Come on, it's all right here. It's all right here. And isn't it true that we respect our earthly fathers even though they corrected and disciplined us? Yes, it is. Then we should demonstrate an even greater respect for God, our spiritual father, as we submit to his life-giving discipline. Is there a point after that? So when you are taught to respect authority, in turn, you'll respect God's authority. That's how it works. When you respect authority, when you respect someone who's above you, though they may not know as much as you, when you can respect your pastors enough to correct you or to discipline you in love, then you can respect God's authority. You'll place yourself in a submissive position. You position yourself to be completely loved by him as a son or daughter. Verse 10, like a couple more scriptures and then I'm done. Our parents corrected us for the short time. See, it's just a short time of our childhood as it seemed good to them. But God corrects us throughout our lives. So you see, our parents get us for a short time, but God has us for all eternity. Okay? So he does that. He corrects us throughout our lives for our own good. You know, if you let God, he will save you from yourself. If you let him. God does it for our own good. Our parents did it for what seemed good to them. They're just doing the best that they can to hope and pray that you become the best person. Because ultimately, yes, we still make our own decisions. We still choose which path we're going to take. But I've had enough leather on my rear end to know which path not to take. And I feared every moment of it, even when it was happening. So he does it for our own good. And it gives us, this is awesome, it gives us an invitation to share in his holiness. So how would we as God's children reflect who he is if he doesn't discipline and correct and instruct us when we're not doing the things the right way? You see, but we only know the right things to do that are only found in scriptures. So if we don't know what scripture says about how a Christian should act, then don't be surprised when someone who truly knows what it means and what it says that comes along and says, baby, that's not right. Don't get upset. Position yourself as a son, receive it, and if you allow it, it'll transform your life so that you can reflect who God truly is on the inside of you. Come on, and even that is being generationally minded, because in turn we do that, our kids see it, and they reflect who that is, and then in one day they were like, oh wait, this is who God is. You know, because they take on that faith, they make it theirs. And then, what, they do even greater things than what you even dreamt of, really. That's how it should be. Being generational is starting a generation early so that everybody gets it. Now, all discipline seems to be more pain than pleasure at the time. See, it's that this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you thing. I'll be there one day. I've heard that it hurts pretty bad to spank your kids, okay? Yet, this is what I have to constantly remind myself. I cannot allow the enemy to come in and say, oh, don't do it, you're going to hurt them, right? So it seems to be more pain than pleasure, yet later, it produces a transformation of character. Bringing a harvest of righteousness and peace to those who yield to it. Man, that's important. And that's something that I live by right there every single day. And that's something that I'm going to have to talk to my baby girl about it. And say the same words of my dad. I do this because I love you. And it hurts me more than it hurts you. But this is why I do it. Right? And they may not get it. She may not understand it then. And I may have to do it 100 more times, but I'll do it as much as I need to until she understands it one day in her life that I'm doing it because she's going to produce righteousness and peace in her life. It's going to transform her character. And now in turn, she's going to reflect who God is on the inside of her, and she's going to be a world changer. And that's what I truly believe.
That's awesome, Frankie.
Right? And like I said, everybody in here, you can hold me accountable to that. That's what I'm saying. We as a church, sometimes it does take a body to raise kids. Because I know I'm not the only one that's out there telling those kids, hey, don't climb on that, or hey, don't get on the stage, right? It's okay, because sometimes you have to do that. Sometimes it takes that person that's not being mean or not being hateful, but you're like, hey, that's not safe for you to do. Right? So it's okay. We're all family. We're the family of God. We're all in this together. So let's do this together. Right? Because we're not just like raising our own kids, but we're building a church. We're building the family of God. Yeah. There are people that come in here who are baby Christians, right? That need help from the more mature group that understands all this stuff that can help lead them along the way, right? I think I'm done. Is that it, Terry? Ah, okay. Good. Hey, well, let's stand to our feet. Whew. Didn't realize I had that many notes.